So good morning, everybody. It's Sunday morning, just after 9 a.m. here in London, and Lizzie and I, Justin, are here again for Turning Towards Life, which, as so many of you will know, is a project which comes out of our work together in Third Space Coaching, and we are absolutely delighted to be doing this morning. Lizzie has chosen a wonderful source for us, which we will dive into in a minute. But I think that's all I'm going to say for now, and give a chance, Lizzie, for you to say hello as well.
Morning, everybody. Morning from Scotland, where I am this week. Today, I have chosen this reading as poem, partly in dedication to my nephew, Christopher, who is 8 years old today. And we are in Scotland celebrating his birthday with me and my husband and my sister and her husband and their two children. One of whom is Christopher, who is 8. And he is a big teacher of this particular thing for me. And I wanted to bring something that is really meaningful to me, and also that talks about parenting as something not separate to everything else that we're doing. So I think parenting is this very beautiful, sensitive realm of our lives. And often it's really hard to talk about it because we're so sensitive, it's so meaningful to us. And so I wanted to see if we could have this conversation together, Justin, and see where we get to, because also you're a parent to 3 beautiful, wonderful children / nearly adults. And I feel like it's a really important conversation to be having. Firstly, to extend it into every other conversation we're having, and also because our children are the most precious things in some ways. And I feel like it's an important one. So that's why I've chosen it, and partly because Christopher's a great, great teacher for me in this realm. And he's 8 today and extraordinarily excited and playing with his Lego. And it's just a really beautiful thing to see him turn 8 and to appreciate all the ways that us and our family are up to this thing in all the ways that we can be. So that's why I chose this for today.
So are you going to read this first, or am I going to read this first?
Yeah, shall I read first and then talk? Okay. So, seeing to the heart. Some behavior in your children will seem good to you. Other behavior will seem unequivocally bad. Notice both in your children, without being overly impressed by one, nor overly dismayed by the other. In doing so, you will be imitating the Tao, which sees our behavior as a mask and sees immediately beneath it to the good within our heart. Above all, do not attack your child's behavior. Do not attempt to change it by endless talking and scolding. Stay at your center and look beneath the behavior to the heart of the child. There you will find only good. When you see the heart, you will know what to do.
Seeing to the heart. Some behavior in your children will seem good to you. Other behavior will seem unequivocally bad. Notice both in your children, without being overly impressed by one, nor overly dismayed by the other. In doing so, you will be imitating the Tao, which sees our behavior as a mask and sees immediately beneath it to the good within our heart. Above all, do not attack your child's behavior and attempt to change it by endless talking and scolding. Stay at your center and look beneath the behavior to the heart of the child. There you will find only good. When you see the heart, you will know what to do.
As you're reading, Justin, I'm thinking of all the, all the words you could exchange for children, like notice both in your husband without being overly impressed by one or the other. Notice both in your wife. Notice both in your colleague. Notice both in your student. Notice both in your teacher. It feels like a completely interchangeable thing. Mm. And so I want us to listen. Like, if you're listening today and you haven't got children, please remember that this is about children and it's about the fact that we are all children, like every single one of us, in whatever relationship we are in with one another, we could, one of the narratives I feel really close to in my life is that we're all parenting some way. We're parenting one another, we're parenting our children, we're parenting our parents, we're parenting our grandparents. We are growing up in a way that allows us to be with one another in a responsible and powerful way, and to remember ourselves as powerful in this particular way, which is that we have the capacity to see to the heart always. It's always there and it's always available to us. And I really appreciate this invitation to see each other in this way.
That is such a powerful narrative to come from, Lizzie. And I know that when we've been teaching together and welcoming people as coaches into the world, that that's so often what you've said as well, that this move that human beings can have with one another, where we parent and reparent one another endlessly, I think is, gosh, the whole world will be coming from a different place if, and all of us, if we could find this again and again and again. And I say that very deliberately, both in appreciation for the way that you're articulating it, and also because of something that happened for me just as reading this to you and to everyone, which was this part right at the end. Stay at your center and look beneath the behavior to the heart of the child. There you will find only good. When you see the heart, you will know what to do. And I immediately got thinking about all the times when I'll start with my own children, and also with all of the other groups of people you're talking about, I have got panicked because I didn't know what to do. And which has happened, of course, many, 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 many times. And I reckon it would be true to say that in every one of those occasions they're the occasions that bring out in me the part in me that wants to correct and fix up and force. I go, I don't know what to do. Something has to happen, and I have to be the one who has to make it. And that's when I get into my most nagging, scolding, correcting. And I can think of lots of occasions where I've known that that's what I was doing, and in the middle of it, known that I was doing it because I didn't know what else to do, because I was essentially afraid, and trying to deal with being afraid by having something happen. And of course, that's a very, for any of us who are in a relationship with someone who is smaller and more tender and just forming, all of those times I've done that with my own children, I can feel how off it is, how unhelpful it is, how out of place it is. And so I really love and I'm touched by this advice, and I think it's good advice from William Martin and the Tao, of course, that the place to look is to the heart of the other person, where we, let's read what he says again, that you will find only good. So, you know, to trust that when we look beneath the surface of however someone is behaving, we'll find good and we'll know what to do is such good advice. And here's where what happened for me when I was reading it is, we also have to do that to ourselves in order to be able to do this. So most of my pit, you know, my falls into ways of behaving with other people that have just been destructive or unhelpful or wounding or whatever have come because I won't even trust my own goodness. And if I don't trust my own goodness, there's no way I'm going to trust someone else's goodness. And then I'm, you know, blam, into this much more controlling, confronting way of being. And it doesn't just apply. I think this is important with parenting young people because of the power dynamic here that's going on. But it's so important with everyone. And we have to, I know that I have to learn how to soften myself when I'm afraid in order to be able to do this. So it doesn't just come because it's a beautiful invitation from him, but actually it's not so easy to do without practicing being soft when I most want to be, I don't know, getting control of everything.
Mm. Yeah, that's where my mind went as well, Justin, after the initial readings was, yes, it's about other people, but how about I practice with myself? And what are all the times that I don't give myself the benefit of the doubt and I don't look to the heart of me to see my good intentions? And I think that's why I'm going to try and make this link. So this is why I think particularly my Christopher, let's use Christopher as a teacher to me, because it's like I love him in a way that I have to look to myself. That I will look to myself, because the way I want or can feel that I need to be with him requires me to look to myself so that I don't rain something on him that's actually my stuff. Because I really, really don't want that to happen. Like, I don't want Christopher to be at the mercy of my superego. I don't want him to be at the mercy of the way I criticize myself for not eating my cereals properly or whatever. Like, I want him to receive the part of me that is the part that I would have him receive if I had choice. And in order to do that, I have to, or I'm willing to, because of the way I love him and where I care about him, I'm pushed to go there inside of myself to give myself an easier life, an easier time, less criticism, more appreciation, because only then is that channel open for me to speak from that place and relate in that place and from that place with Christopher. And so it feels really important that, or like, the only way to do this is to include myself in it. Like, it's not even important. It's just the way to do it. It's the only way that I can have found that I can do it, is if it comes from the place where I've forgiven myself or given myself a break, it's all possible and I can know what to do. But if I haven't done that, knowing what to do feels like way beyond my reach. And it's just making me think of last weekend. Both my niece and nephew, who are, well, 8 today and 11, were staying at my house. And it was 6 minutes past 7. I remember looking at my watch thinking, it's 6 minutes past 7. Everyone's in bed. I am nailing this. We'd had a bath. They'd had something to eat, at least, even if it was only one grape or whatever. You know, I kind of gave myself a break about how much they were eating, whatever. We got in bed and it was 6 minutes past 7. I was like, I am nailing this. I'm so proud of myself. And at 10:30, the children were leaping around my house, hysterically laughing, having the time of their lives. And I remember just thinking to myself, well, this is like a right royal failure then. I really thought I nailed this. And the truth of it is that I could find the part of myself that enjoyed so much staying at someone else's house and being cheeky and being laughing, doing cheeky things, and they were hiding behind the wall while I was cooking because I needed to make some food for the next day, and they were laughing so hard. And I thought, well, if I go to the heart of things now, the experience they're having is they're happy, they're laughing, they're having fun. What else could there be that's more important than this? And I get that sleep is important and all kinds of things, but I noticed the part of me that was giving myself a hard time for being a failure. But right next to that was the part of myself that was like, I'm actually enjoying this too. And it's really funny. And because I'm pretending to be cross with them, they are absolutely delighted. And they knew I wasn't really cross. And it's like that heart of things as well. It's not only like a particularly emotional place, but it's like having a good time and remembering that I don't have to be some kind of version of myself with them, but that I could be myself. And I actually really enjoy being cheeky and staying up late and, you know, going off the beaten track. And so there's a way that this poem also invites me to not be in the role of a responsible person with whoever I'm with, but to actually be responsive and to respond from a place in me that's authentic rather than I should be getting them to bed and I should be doing this properly and I should be a good cook and I should be feeding them and they should be in bed by 6 minutes past 7 and all those kind of superego things feel so the opposite of what this invitation is, which is to be real and to be like accepting and trusting and in it with them rather than held outside of the fun or held outside of the goodness of them because I'm trying to be the one that's responsible for them or something. So I love the freedom that this brings and the faith in the goodness. Feels like I'm really grateful for that to be affirmed and to be invited because I know I've always, I've had these fears of like, oh, well, if I just like allow that goodness to be the thing that guides me, what if everything just becomes unruly and chaotic and mad? And, what if that's irresponsible? And of course there are, lots of conversation and boundaries around all of that. But I think the way that we give ourselves a hard time in this realm is massive. And I just appreciate this invitation to this quite radical in our culture, probably approach to be attuned with our hearts and other people's hearts and our own self-forgiveness and self letting off the hook to see what world we could make.
There's a yes to everything you're saying. And there's a distinction that you made that I want to say back because I think it was really clear and I'm finding it really helpful to hear it this way. Is you said that what it takes is us working out and being in contact with that of ourselves, which we want to give to one another, which is by no means an easy thing to do. It's a great act of care to do this. And the alternative to it, and I think that is this last thing that you said is it's not given much space in our culture to think that way because this is the Taoist part of it, I think, really, which is that there's a way that runs underneath all of the surface. And in naming it that way, you're paying a deep, deep attention to the way. And there's a real trust, as you can see in William Martin's words here, that the way is good, that there's goodness that's possible that's under there. And we live in a culture that teaches us, and that we often keep going, this, of course, teaches us two things which are in contrast to that, it seems to me. So one is that the most important thing is how things are going right now. Like, are you in bed at the exact time? All of that, like the sort of the immediate behavioral outcome. I think that our culture has hugely devalued the quiet way that is underneath everything for the sake of the surface. And sometimes the surface really matters, but often the surface only matters as the expression of something much deeper that we don't get to pay attention to. So that's the first thing, is that distinction. And then the second distinction that comes into this, that I think you said and was also implied in what you were saying, is really, really easy to get into image management, which is, I've seen this in myself so many times, when I've flipped into, again, parenting with my lovely three, which I know has been off, which is, if you're behaving like that, then I'm not the kind of parent that I'm supposed to be. Like, if you're jumping wildly in the beds at 10:30 at night, what does that mean about me? And because that means something terrible at me, I have to get you in line so that I can feel better about myself as a parent.
Yes, yes.
Which is so ordinary and so unhelpful. If what you want to do is come from this beautiful invitation that you're making, which is, what of me do I want to make available and transmit? And I know that for myself, what of me I want to make available and transmit is a deep, loving, appreciative, playful, responsible, caring presence. And when I can drop down beneath the surface of things and beneath my own image management as well, I've got much better chance of doing that. And we forget. And it's striking me just as I'm talking about this, that almost all, if you're a parent and you're looking for parenting advice in our contemporary world, almost all of the advice that you will get, because we live in a culture that values the surface is you'll get behavioral advice. Do X, do Y. Again, much of it might be helpful, but it misses this dropping beneath the surface of ourselves and other people.
Yeah.
And it's not, of course, you said this at the start, it's not just in parenting. I just spent the most glorious day on Thursday with a group of people, all adults, who run a hospital. And they have a big and terribly difficult job to do. And we essentially spent the day making the move that you're proposing, which is when we encounter ourselves beneath the surface of our visible actions and start to consider from which all of what we're doing arises, what becomes possible. And we could feel that the depth of mutual care and mutual intelligence about what is called to be done was growing.
Mm.
I was very, very lucky to be with a group of people who were willing to encounter that. So I'm saying that, I suppose, here simply because this is as much an issue in the way that we organize our relationships in all different kinds of fields, particularly when there are important things to be done. And there are important things to be done in the raising of children and in the raising of a hospital and in the, So I think that this is true everywhere.
Yeah. I'm just so appreciating, Justin, this way, the way that you've said, I think I said it and then you said it and I'm saying it again, is when I care about someone or something, what of me would I have them receive? And to really ask my questions about myself, questions about that. And not to say, throw all the other parts away or something that I wouldn't have them receive, but to feel into the heart of me and trust that the heart of me is what's needed here, instead of the me that I would live up to that image that you're talking about, the image that I have of what a good parent is or a good sister is or a good boss is or something. But how might I trust that the me that is really a me that I could really, really stand by, how could I trust that is good enough and good through and through, that I could show up as that and trust that that would be just what the situation needs, just what the person needs? And I remember my sister saying to me once something like, maybe the children just want you, not that you know where to take them or that you know what to feed them or whatever. But what if they just want you? And it doesn't matter really what storybook you read, unless there's one that they're obsessed with or something. But actually reading a story is the Eunice to Eunice thing, rather than getting the stories done so we can go to sleep. It's different than that. And I'm really moved by this. It feels like a self-inclusion, actually. Where I get to fully participate in the relationships that I'm in, rather than holding some role that holds me away and apart because I've got a responsibility, therefore I can't participate. But, being truly in relationship without a role holding me in some self-exclusionary zone, and having faith in that self-inclusion and having faith that everyone's including themselves, just feels like a very faithful, good path that in this moment feels like all that could be born of that is a perpetuation of that mutual goodness.
Yes. I love the way that you talk about faith and faithfulness, and it's seems to me that this is a leap that we have to make. And it's so different from what's in my mind. A couple of things are in my mind at the moment is that my oldest son, Noam, is applying for university at the moment. And as you know, there are so many questions. what's the right thing to do here, and what will be the consequence of this, and what will be the consequence of that. And I can sometimes feel the part of me in responding to him, you know, this gorgeous young adult that gets caught up in the image of having to know the right thing to do. I don't know the right thing to do most often. So there's a proper leap into faithfulness here, of faithfulness of my own goodness and of his own goodness, and of not trying to be the one who has the right answer for things.
Yeah.
So that's on my mind. But the other thing that was on my mind that I wanted to say is, you were talking about the children only want you. And I was remembering one of the people in my life who I loved and still love the most, even though he's no longer alive, was my grandfather. And he worked really right up until he died, running a tiny little clothing shop in suburban North London. And my biggest and most delightful, one of my most joy-filled childhood memories is of walking into the shop, and he was, as he got older, his sight wasn't so good, so he wouldn't always know who was coming into the shop, and we would come in, and when he would figure out that it was us, he would light up like sunshine. And it's such a amazing example of what it is for me, for the goodness of the hearts. Like, he really knew the goodness of our hearts, and I think when he was with us, I don't know about any other time, but he knew the goodness of his own heart enough to just be like sunshine with us. Mm-hmm. And I don't remember most of what he did with us. I mean, we had some lovely holidays together and who knows what else, but what has affected me the most, and which I still carry as an adult, is the experience of being the recipient,
yeah,
of the glowing, this huge glowing love that he was. And that is the only part of it that really matters.
Mm. Yeah. That's so lovely, Justin, that we can be the recipient, and we are the recipients of that. And the extent to which we're receiving our own goodness is the extent to which we can be like that kind of sunshine for others, and to know that when we've received that in our lives, how it's felt for us as a guiding light as to what kind of gift we're giving, by feeling our own sunshine and then seeing others as sunshine as well. It's really beautiful. And also, I was talking yesterday, I think, with Matthew, my husband, about memories. And how so often we can't remember what happened, but there's something that we feel and the connection that we had that's alive, even though we can't remember what exactly we saw or whose house we were at or something. But there's this enduring different kind of memory that's like the sunshine feeling, which has not got much fact in it, but there's a kind of depth of experience and connection. That's the thing that feels very enduring in my life. Not so much facts and figures and where and what, but the connection and the feel and the that kind of embodied memory feels like it's what this stuff makes, the sunshine makes.
Yes. I'm really struck by the last line of William Martin's piece, which is, when we're in contact with this, we'll know what to do.
Yeah.
And I suppose I want to just say that, you know, sometimes knowing what to do is saying, it's time for bed, or don't speak, please. I'm thinking about with children and with adults. I'm not, you know, all the parenting we do. Please don't speak to me that way. Or mm-hmm. It really, really is important that you take care of what you eat, or please, you know, or nothing, or let's just jump on the beds wildly. The gift from him to us in this is that all of those are called for. Like being in contact with our own sunshine and transmitting it is sometimes the great act of caretaking that involves saying no to another human being. Not that. So I wanted to bring that in here because that's...
But also I think this thing's like the prerequisite for any of those actions.
Yeah.
Like it gives you the place to come from. Like if we can find a way of attuning to our hearts and another person's heart, in some way it gives us the boundaries. It shows us where we're off. It shows us when that demand to go to bed is a one because actually we really, really need to, or I'm coming from a role. Like it's the kind of underpinning that gives us the relational permission plus the authority and the genuineness required for a relationship to have the kind of boundaries in it that afford health, that afford good decision-making and knowing the difference between things. Like it feels like the foundational underpinning of how to do all of that.
Yes.
So I completely feel that and know that it's a radical experiment and it just feels like an exciting realm that if I can be tapped into that, my actions and my doing and my decisions and the things I say will be held by that. Like I'll be trusting in something deeper than just my preferences.
Yes.
Well, this is really beautiful. I'm really grateful, Justin, to have this conversation and to get this out into the world. It's such a meaningful thing for me to talk about this. And I realize it doesn't really get talked about so much in this particular way. And by the way, William Martin's book, it's the most brilliant book. It's just poem after poem after poem that's so helpful. If you're a parent or if you're a human and you want to orient in this way, it's just really extraordinary. So it's 9:35, so we're at the end of our time. We will be back next Sunday with a source chosen by Justin, which who knows what it will be. And I want to just say thank you to everybody for being with us again. And this is really quite an extraordinary thing now. We're fully on in the groove of this. And thank you for all of the ways that you're also in the groove, listening, watching us, either afterwards or during this live broadcast. We will see you next week at 9 o'clock here on Facebook and probably on all the other places that Justin has technically distributed us into. Thank you so much, everybody.
Thanks,
see you next
everyone.
Week.
Bye-bye.